Buccaneers players tell the media how excited they are about Todd Bowles taking over as the Buccaneers head coach. A familiar face is back in the building, and I put Evan on the spot in the first round of a mock draft. All that and more on this episode of Locked On Bucs Podcast. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's your team every day. We are your daily podcast about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. We thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, rejoined by my usual Wednesday co-host, Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay. Check out everything I'm doing over at BucsNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, and at E. Klosky WTSP. And Evan, a lot has gone on since the last time we spoke. There's been some scheduling conflicts. I was down for a week. You were down for a week. But we're back now. And the players met with the media today. Some players, not all of them, but some of the players met with the media on Tuesday. And a lot of them were asked about the recent coaching change, including second-year edge rusher Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, and this is what he had to say.
A new head coach, but it's a familiar face in the building, so I believe it's going to be a smooth transition as long as, you know, defense is on the same page, same similar things we're going to be doing, so it's all, you know, similar terms, so it's going to be a pretty good transition for me. The defense, I'm pretty excited.
All right. So, Evan, obviously, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka is excited, and he touched on something that a lot of people kind of haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to, and that is the fact that with a coaching change usually comes a whole new set of coordinators, position coaches, new faces all over the place, and with this one, everything's the same except for the guy who's driving the golf cart at practice. So, same faces, same places. The continuity there, the familiarity within the building, but we haven't spoken since the coaching change was made. So first and foremost, I want to know what your thoughts are on the sudden retirement of Bruce Arians and how you feel about the promotion of Todd Bowles.
I mean, yeah, that was a whirlwind of a day. Was just minding my own business doing a fantasy baseball draft and then had to put down everything, chuck my team to the wayside and figure out what was going on. It was one of those, like, is there a blue check mark on this? This is fake, right? No, oh, no, it's not fake. No, this is very real. Yeah, it's surprising. I think it makes sense once we talked with Bruce. I think it makes sense when we know everything we know surrounding the Tom Brady scenario with Bruce. Just so that I'm on the record, I've said this before, the reporting by various people in the media, I think, have overblown the fracture in the relationship between Arians and Brady. I do believe there is truth to the fact that Arians might not have been putting forth the kind of the effort that Brady expected as far as like a workflow sort of deal. Like, I do believe that Arians, you know, at his age with the Achilles injury, wasn't up all hours of the night burning the midnight oil while Brady and Byron Leftwich were putting together game plans. You know, that part I think is true, and I think that part probably pissed Brady off. But, you know, I don't think that Brady doesn't like Bruce Arians. I don't think that it was him or I just think that once Brady decided to come back, I think that Bruce said, you know what, I don't want to hold anybody back. I don't want to hold Brady back from his success. I don't want to hold Todd Bowles back from his success, Byron Leftwich back from his success. And in his mind, he probably said, you know what, I only have 1 year left in me anyway. Like, what's the difference? What if I just bow out this year and let my people get a chance to lead and I can oversee it from a distance and make sure that they're taken care of and I'm in the building and they're just fine. So I think it makes a lot of sense with Todd Bowles. He's a guy that was not put into a great situation with the New York Jets the first time around. A lot of head coaches do not get a second chance. And I know how much Bruce Arians loves that man. I mean, he coached him at Temple. They have such a history. So for Todd to get a second chance, especially because he's done such phenomenal work in his few years with the Buccaneers at defensive coordinator, he has earned this job. So he's gifted a tremendous situation. And I think a lot of people said, well, why not Byron Leftwich? You know, the fact of the matter is that Leftwich still needs a little bit more autonomy, which I think is partly Bruce's fault, not blaming Bruce. It's just part of the nature of the business that Bruce is the offensive guy. So this is going to be Byron's offense. No more Byron and Brady, right? They're going to work in tandem, but there is going to be no more like Bruce having his hands in this and taking credit for what's going on with what the offense is doing. Like Byron is running the show and that's going to be it. I mean, there might be some discussions with him and Bowles on like some pivotal plays, whatever it might be, but you know, Byron's going to be the head coach of the offense and Bowles is going to be leading the team. So I think it's a fantastic hire. Have nothing but respect for Todd. His players love him. He has been able to recruit because of the respect that he has within the league. And not to mention, I do want to praise the Buccaneers organization. I mean, this is the fourth black head coach that they've had, and no other organization has had two, more than two, I should say. So, inclusion, that speaks to everything that Bruce Arians is all about also. So it makes a lot of sense once you connect all the dots, after Brady coming back. But to say that Bruce entered the offseason thinking this was going to be the move, that's not it. I mean, Bruce was entering this year planning to be head coach, and Bowles was blindsided. Like, Bowles had no idea what it was coming. So everything happened real fast, and it happened real fast after Brady returned. So, that was it's still a very interesting situation. This offseason's been nothing short of surprising in a lot of realms. But you know what's interesting is, like, once we get down to August, the team's going to look fairly similar to what we kind of saw last year, and they're still going to be a Super Bowl contender. So the headline-y stuff will go away once we get down to football. But the headline-y stuff is still very much out there when it comes to the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and we're going to get to a little bit of that coming up. But real quick, in a season, where the Buccaneers see their championship window, maybe on the verge of closing because of that quarterback situation and not knowing if you have Brady beyond 2022, and if you don't, who is going to fill in at that position? What is your confidence level that Todd Bowles can get the job done and win a Super Bowl in this basically 1 year window?
Very confident. I don't know if I can put like a number to it. Nothing's really changing. Everybody is in place. As you mentioned from the start, usually when you go through coaching changes, you have to deal with a new playbook. You have to deal with new personalities. You have to go through all of these different emotions and feelings in the locker room and all this change. That there is no change when it comes to the functionality of the team. Todd will tighten the ship a little bit. He'll run things his way. He made that very clear. This is going to be the Todd Bowles show. It's not going to be the Bruce Arians show, that Todd Bowles is trying to take over. He's going to do it his way, which is fine. But there is no step back here. Todd's going to still call the defense, which is great news for Buccaneers fans and for this team. And Tom Brady is still the quarterback. So there's still some signings we're waiting for when it comes to this team. Who knows when that will happen. But they are going to be as well positioned to make it to the Super Bowl as any other team in the NFC. What you ask for is to have a shot, and they have a shot. Now, we saw last year injuries played a huge role, and you can't control that stuff. But entering the year, the roster that's built, assuming they make a few more additions, they're going to be right there. That, at least on black and white terms, looking at what they have on the paper, I'm confident they can make a run and hoist a Lombardi once again.
All right. Well, the Buccaneers did bring back a defensive lineman, and the Brady to Miami stuff just won't go away. So we're going to get Evan's thoughts on that. But first, Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that gives you the features of $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed, durable frames, premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Shady Rays includes lost and broken protection on every pair. They will send you a brand new pair if you lose them, no matter what happened. Give them a try. If you don't love them, you'll pay nothing. It's simple as that. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays. Exclusively for our listeners, head to ShadyRays.com and use code LOCKEDON to get 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That's code locked on for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses, backed by over 150,000 verified five-star reviews. Segment two here of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen every day. Make sure you're following Locked On NFL, Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday in less than 30 minutes. It is also free and available on all platforms. Evan, the Buccaneers have brought back a defensive lineman not named Ndamukong Suh, but they did bring back Patrick O'Connor, and this isn't going to preclude them from making another move along the defensive line, probably another two, maybe three moves along the defensive line. But what does the return of O'Connor mean for this defense?
Meh. I mean, for the defense as a whole, I don't know. Look, I know that the team loves Pat O'Connor. He is a key contributor to special teams. And when you talk about special teams, that's where I think he's going to make the biggest impact. As far as utilizing him within the defensive schemes and seeing his presence, if he's out there all the time, it's not what you want to see. And that's no offense to Pat O'Connor. He just, you know, he's just not built to be an impact defensive player. He's an impact special teams player, and he means a lot over there. And that is a third of the game, so I'm not minimizing his importance to the team. I love his role on the squad. And when he went down, things changed with depth. They changed with special teams, which you have to remember entering last season was a huge, huge part of rebuilding, retooling, whatever you want to call it. When they invested in the draft, they felt like they needed to get better in special teams based on what they saw in 2020. So a nice addition, part of the bring the band back movement. He, you know, by all accounts is a great teammate, at least from, you know, what we've heard throughout training camp and, you know, when he went down, what we heard from his teammates. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't want to blow up the addition more than what it is. It's just a good move to continue the continuity that the Buccaneers have entering this next season.
All right, Evan, we have not discussed this on this podcast. I have given my thoughts numerous times, so I'm going to open the floor up to you, because the Brady Miami Dolphins stuff won't go away ever. Swear it every day. It's Gronk didn't say anything, but we have to talk about it. And Brady to the Dolphins almost didn't, but might have, but shouldn't have, but tampering happened. So Florio had his report out. You retweeted something from the, was it the
Sun Sentinel?
The Sun Sentinel.
Which was also piggybacking off some stuff from the Boston Globe.
Right. I'm starting to really dislike Boston because of all of this. And as a Red Sox fan, it pains me to have to dislike that city. I love that city. Been to that city.
Compartmentalize.
Yeah, it's...
I'm just here for the baseball.
It's making my life more difficult that this stuff won't go away for a myriad of reasons. But I will open the floor up to you. What are your thoughts on all of this insanity?
It makes sense. I mean, it is one heck of a master plan to put together when you like spell it out, like, hey, Sean, you're going to retire, you know, a week, you know, I think he retired Jan 25th or whatever it was. And then it's like, and Tom, you're going to retire the following week. And then the next week we're going to announce you as a minority owner because you're under contract with the Buccaneers. You know, they can't prevent you from being a minority owner. They just can't prevent you from being a player. And then we'll bring you in, we'll let the Buccaneers figure out their stuff. And once they get their quarterback, we'll reach out to them and say, hey, you know, looks like you're all set. Would you like to work out a deal to we'll take Tom's contract in. He's already with the organization. Might as well just put that under our belt. And away we go. I mean, it just seems like a lot. And to be fair, what the Sun Sentinel talks about in the Brian Flores lawsuit, which is the whole reason, according to the reports, why this fell apart. In that, it did say that Brian Flores was being pressured to tamper and reach out to a prominent quarterback, which, I mean, could be Tom Brady. So, look, where there is smoke, there is fire. I am not debating that Brady was in conversations with this stuff. And this might have been the plan all along. Who knows? Or some, maybe there was some variation of it. Who, you know, whatever. But it could have been a way for Brady to get out and to a situation which, by the way, you know, the Dolphins have built around the quarterback position really well this offseason. You know, they're a QB away from making some noise. They're trying to spin it to Tua being a thing. But yeah, I mean, there's going to have to be some questions asked to Tom. Without Tom answering those questions, there's just no way to know. We can't ask Bruce or Jason. You know, they're not going to have any knowledge of that if there's tampering behind the scenes, because they're just going to say, well, they can't, right? That they're not allowed to do that. So only Brady can give us some insight. And I'm sure when we eventually do talk with Brady, whenever that is, he's not going to give us much. But he's going to have to confront it. And I was talking to you before we did this podcast. It would behoove Brady to just get a press conference out of the way in May when you're bringing back these OTAs. Get it out of the way, address it all, and let's move on, right? Like, I mean, if he doesn't talk with the media until the beginning of training camp, and it's probably going to take a few days before he even addresses the media before, you know, once they get going again, I mean, this could be lingering over the Buccaneers as a distraction for a significant amount of time. And Brady hates being a distraction, but he's going to be, because the longer that he waits to address any of this stuff, the longer rumors and narratives get out there and continue to kind of formulate, and people kind of get to connect dots their own ways. And it snowballs into what we saw with the Brady Arians riff, where yes, there's some truth to that report, but rift, fracture, pushing him out, all that stuff is just a complete exaggeration to what was really the core of the issue. So I don't know if I believe these reports 100%, because they are also just connecting dots. They are utilizing everybody to kind of say, well, that makes sense. And in this, and, you know, draw the lines everywhere. But they don't have Tom Brady. They're not going to get Stephen Ross on record. But, you know, it's plausible, but it doesn't matter. And the real answer will come with, is Brady going to sign an extension with the Buccaneers? If he does not, and he enters the season as his last year with the Bucs, and let's say he goes to Miami next year, well, your answer's going to come.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing, is like, if it's not this year, it might be next year. And there are those situations where actions speak louder than words. So he's going to have to be real careful with his words when he addresses the media on these situations, because, you know, could come back to haunt him. But that's why when he retired the first time, he never, and I said this on air the day that I read that thing, and I told you, right, he never said the word retire. He said he was not going to make that commitment anymore. Sean Payton also was very outspoken, saying, I'm probably going to coach again. And he was honest. It's like, you know, I like, this isn't the end for me. I'm probably going to be back out there. And he was kind of transparent. So it's plausible. It makes sense. But we only have one side of the story right now. So,
yeah, David and I have a side bet on a lot of this stuff, trying to put all of these pieces together. And I'm not going to reveal what the bet is. All I know is that he has the bet saved in his phone calendar for 10 years from now. Because I think it's going to take that long for us to finally get the full story one way or another. So we have a first round mock draft coming up where Evan is going to put his draft prowess to the test. And for his sake, I hope he had a Built Bar before this show began, maybe even a Built Puff, because Puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy, they're marshmallowy, they're not just a protein bar, they are a treat, and they are covered in 100% real chocolate. There's the brownie batter puff, the churro, coconut marshmallow, banana cream, all Built Bars, Puffs, and the OGs, covered in 100% real chocolate, low calorie, high protein. You can replace your candy bars with these, and they are going to be much better for you and much better tasting. Most Built Bars, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. There are new flavors coming out all the time. If Built Bar thinks a flavor might be good, they are going to figure it out, and then they're going to reverse engineer it, and they are going to make it good for you. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Wrapping things up here on a WTSB Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. James Yarko, Evan Klosky on Twitter at @JYarko_Bucks, @EKlosky, WTSB. And it is time for the first Evan Klosky mock draft of 2022. On the Locked On Bucks podcast. Now, I say it's the Evan Klosky mock draft, but in reality, you're just taking the Buccaneers pick.
Yeah.
And so I ran through some draft simulators. Shout out to the Draft Network. That's the one that I ultimately went with, because my goal, and I forewarned you that I was going to do this, I said I may even have to cheat to ensure that when you are on the clock, there is no Devontae Wyatt. There is no Zion Johnson. I think Wyatt is a slam dunk, no-brainer pick. If he is there, boom. Cards turned in. That's the guy. I think if Zion Johnson's there, he's their number two choice. It makes a lot of sense. So I didn't want you to have an easy way out of this one. So I'm interested to hear what Evan Klosky, the GM, would do. And then I want to hear what you think the Buccaneers would do in this particular situation. So here is how the draft was laid out. We have a surprise almost right out of the gate. At number one overall, it's chalk. You have the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Aiden Hutchinson. Number two, the Detroit Lions take quarterback Malik Willis. Interesting. Little bit of a curveball. The Houston Texans then take offensive tackle Evan Neal. The New York Jets, they get Sauce Gardner, the corner out of UC. The New York Giants go with offensive tackle Ekwonu out of NC State. You have division rival Carolina Panthers taking Charles Cross, the offensive tackle. The Giants back on the clock. They take Trayvon Walker out of Georgia. Somehow, some way, Kayvon Thibodeau falls to the Atlanta Falcons. They take him, the edge rusher, out of Oregon. Seattle Seahawks take edge rusher Jermaine Johnson. The New York Jets back on the clock. They take my son's guy, Kyle Hamilton, the safety out of Notre Dame. So the Jets double dipping in the secondary. The Washington Commanders, still weird to say, they make David Harrison very happy, taking Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State. The Vikings
take
Derek Stingley, the corner out of LSU. Back-to-back corners here. The Houston Texans take Andrew Booth out of Clemson. Baltimore Ravens take Jordan Davis, the defensive lineman. The Eagles, they take wide receiver Drake London. The New Orleans Saints quarterback Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. They don't believe in Jameis, so they're drafting their quarterback of the future. Our guy, my guy, the Bucs guy, Devontae Wyatt, goes to the Los Angeles Chargers. Philadelphia Eagles take cornerback Trent McDuffie. The Saints get some wide receiver help in the form of Jameson Williams out of Alabama. Desmond Ridder, the Bearcats quarterback, goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Linebacker Devin Lloyd goes to the New England Patriots. Offensive tackle Trevor Penning goes to the Packers because they don't believe in drafting wide receivers for their $150 billion quarterback. George Karloftis out of Purdue, the edge rusher, goes to the Cardinals. Zion Johnson goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Mind you, I didn't actually have to cheat. Those guys were off the board by the time it got to the Bucs pick. I didn't have to interfere to make your life more difficult, Evan. So, yeah, Zion Johnson to the Cowboys. Jahan Dotson to the Buffalo Bills. And then Chris Olave, number 26, to the Tennessee Titans. So the Buccaneers are on the clock. Johnson's gone. Wyatt's gone. Olave's gone. Dotson's gone. So the best players available at some of the positions of need for you, Evan. Wide receiver Treylon Burks. Offensive lineman Kenyon Green. Center Tyler Linderbaum. Corner Kaiir Elam. A couple of safeties, Daxton Hill and Lewis Seen. Edge rusher Boye Mafe. Defensive lineman Perrion Winfrey. You still have, who was projected to be a top five pick and because of injury has dropped now, David Ojabo out of Michigan, and then linebacker N'Kobe Dean. I'm interested to hear, Evan, what would you do and what do you think the Bucs would do in this situation?
So before I answer that question, I do have to say that I don't know if you caught this in the press conference, but Tristan Wirfs mentioned how he did not have Tom Brady's number.
Yep.
And so Tom sent Tristan Wirfs a text message today saying, "Tristan, we've been trying to reach you regarding your car's extended warranty." "Just kidding. Your car is fine. It's your favorite quarterback." And then Tristan responded, "Tommy, sorry, your mentions were probably blowing up today."
I just saw that as soon as you started talking about it, pulled up my phone and right there it was. Oh,
that is amazing.
Love Tristan. I love Tristan.
Man. He is a gem. I adore that man. Okay, so a lot of options here. You mentioned Kenyon Green. Logan Hall is also kind of a guy there on the defensive line. Three technique, I think something that the Buccaneers desperately need. My only issue with him is he's probably a little bit of a project. He needs to beef up. But he's got speed on the inside, and I know for a fact that Bruce Arians wants speed on the interior. He needs someone who can give an interior push. Bruce Arians, top bowl. See, this is going to take a little time. I mentioned it before. I love Jalen Petrie. I know he kind of doesn't fit really with what the team needs next season, but we saw – I imagine it's going to be pretty tough that the team's going to be completely healthy the entire year. And I think he provides a great security blanket for Sean Murphy Bunting, who's constantly getting injured, let's be honest. But I love that kid. I might lean with, and this might be copy and pasting a little bit of 2021, I might lean with Nick Bonino. My thought process is we still don't know about JPP. He's going to cost too much money to bring in. Creating pressure on the quarterback is something that the team still needs. He can come in day one and be somebody that can step into a role and create pressure. Obviously, you would like a little bit more of a veteran player in one of those edge rushing spots. But having said that, he's not going to be there the next time you pick. With the way that this board has built out, because if I'm Jason Light, I was about to take Olave or Jahan Dotson. I'm really strongly considering just taking one of the players who I think is ready to step onto the field immediately. And I think he's somebody who can play day one. And obviously in a, very Tryon-esque way where he's not playing all the time. But I think that I wouldn't be surprised, and it'd be very much like what they did last year, reaching a little bit high. You know, Joe Tryon was not a guy that many were mocking up for the Buccaneers last year, and you know, it made them faster. And Joe Tryon needed some things to work on, but he did prove that he had some speed to get after the quarterback. So that's kind of my thought. You know, if you wanted to go more need, Kenyon Green is probably an option. I think you can probably wait around to get another interior lineman. I don't think you have to reach in this spot. I think defensive linemen are coveted. You know, maybe someone's thinking like Travis Jones. There's a lot of options, and I'm not ruling out still going wide receiver either. But with the way the board shook out, I just kind of, I don't know. The defensive line as a whole, it needs help. That's interior, and I still need some pass rushers. So give me one of my favorite pass rushers. And normally I would say Jabo out of Michigan, but the Buccaneers I don't think want to wait to get him. You know, you want to bring in somebody who's not going to be impactful year one, and you don't want to deal with the injury. The Buccaneers need players who are going to make an impact this year. They're all in this year. So normally, if Brady wasn't here, I would say that's the pick. Take him in and punt the year and worry about 2023 and get this stud. But I don't know if they want to eat the amount of time it's going to take for him to get back up to full speed.
Yeah, you're looking at probably Thanksgiving. When Ojabo is going to be ready to go.
And so, then he's got to like learn how to adjust to the game. And
right.
That
could be huge for the playoffs though.
It could, you know, but you want to throw a rookie out there with limited reps into that. It's risky. It's risk. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Evan, your official pick, the name you're writing down, who are we going with?
It's going to be Nick Benito.
All right, there you have it for those of you in the YouTube comment section. And for those of you listening on the podcast, you can exert your anger over at eKlosky WTSP on
Twitter. It was a tough spot. I respect everyone's opinion. All right. If you want to hate on me, I get it. Okay. I do.
No, it was, I wanted to put you in a tough position because we, you know, David and I, we keep talking about a lot of the same guys. We keep talking about Dotson and Elam and Wyatt and Johnson. And it's like, you know what? There's a real possibility that none of those guys are there. We need to start talking about some of these other names. It's hard to fall in love with one player because you're just going to end up disappointed.
I love Jalen Petrie. I think Petrie's legit. So, you know, that's my one. He's up there too. So I was torn between both of them.
All right. Well, with that, Evan, we have got to get out of here. So thank you to all of you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft to life every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices. It is also free and available wherever you get your podcasts. You can give us your questions, your thoughts, your topics, anything like that by giving us a call at 813-444-5841 or send us an email to lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. For Evan Klosky, I am James Yarko, and until we speak again, make sure you're checking out everything going on over at BucksNation.com, over at 10TampaBay.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, and at eKloskyWTSB. Make sure you're following my normal co-host, David Harrison, who will be back tomorrow on Twitter at DHarrison82 and over at BucksGameDay.com. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to one another, fire those cannons. Brady's still not a Dolphin. We thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.